Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. All things? Do Christians really believe that? This is the tension of our readings today. This is the tension of which our readings speak. These are the realities of the Christian life. The Lord never gives up on us. He never gives up on you. He never lets you go. Yet still at times, we are fearful. Imagine, if you will, running alongside your child. You've just taken the training wheels off their bicycle. You encourage them, saying things like, "I've got you. I won't let you go until you're ready. You can do this." But while you encourage, they plead, "Don't let go. I'm afraid." What are the things that cause us to fear today? It seemed pretty obvious what in our gospel reading, what the disciples were fearing. They feared for their lives. But in our epistle reading, Peter writes of being grieved by various trials. And I find it interesting that he does not equate being grieved with being afraid. And according to the events of our epistle reading, the people of God being fearful, well, being fearful didn't even play into the equation. But instead, those whom the disciples feared in our gospel reading would find themselves being fearful for the sake of the God of the disciples. As you consider the fears that confront you today, please know that you can do all things through him who gives you strength. No matter what it is, he'll get you through it. Like the man or the mom or the dad running alongside the kid on the bicycle, he's not going to let you go. I hear Jesus speaking these same things to his disciples as he speaks words of peace to them. Peace be with you. It was the most glorious day of all history. And that's not just a metaphor. It was literally the most glorious day in all of time. Jesus had risen. Sin was atoned for. The grave lay defeated. Peace between God and man was restored. But where were the trumpets? We heard trumpets and other brass instruments last week. Where were they? Where was the joyous celebration? Where were the hymns of "Jesus Christ is risen today"? On that first Easter, the women who had visited the tomb, they proclaimed to the disciples, "He is risen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed."
Alleluia. They proclaimed that he is risen. But their proclamation was not met with a joyous response, but instead it was met with fear and unbelief. Fear had robbed the disciples of joy, and it actually robbed them of the truth. They had been confronted by the reality, the finality, and the brutality of Jesus' death on Good Friday, and they couldn't get those images out of their minds. And if that weren't bad enough, now it seems, according to the women, if they were correct, Jesus was now missing. The women who had visited the tomb were talking crazy talk. Things like, "Well, we've seen Jesus." Well, they saw what happened to him. They saw what those men did to Jesus. They watched that stone being rolled. There's no way he could have survived that. Something about an empty tomb, something about him rising from the dead. The gospel says that the disciples ran to the tomb. They had to see for themselves. They had to see it before they would believe it. Problem is, what were they believing? Were they believing that Jesus had risen from the dead, or was this just another case of grave robbing? Fear of earthly suffering had caused the disciples to lose sight of God's eternal promises. So they hid themselves in fear of meeting the same fate as Jesus. It's bad enough being crucified. but even having your grave violated. In our epistle reading, Peter speaks of the testing of one's faith. He says that God, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again, born of a living hope, or to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's your faith. Peter writes of an inheritance. He writes of your inheritance, an inheritance that's kept safe in heaven by God for you. And then he describes your inheritance with words like imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. God's got things well in hand, and nobody's going to change that. Peter writes of our being guarded. Guarded by God's power through faith, which we read a moment ago. Peter said, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, may result in praise and glory and honor when you finally see Jesus face to face. A little bit of paraphrasing in there. But what does all that mean? In the Bible, temptation is often compared to fire. So here Peter compares gold refined by fire to one's faith. Faith that is tested. Faith that is tested by suffering and temptation. In short, Peter would agree that Christians can indeed do all things through Jesus who strengthens us. For it is in the all things of life, it is in the stuff that life dishes out, that faith is refined and faith is strengthened. In these things, Peter rebuked the members of the Jewish High Council, saying, the God of our fathers, showing that, yes, we're agreeing who God is, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him to his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we, pointing to himself and the other apostles, we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given to those who obey him. Peter, I can picture Peter almost being in their face, and you guys did this, but we confessed this. And they were ready, the text says they, when they heard this, when the Jewish council heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill him. But wait a second. Is this the same Peter who in our gospel reading cowered behind a locked door? How could he now speak so boldly about various trials? How could he speak so confidently about the genuineness of faith? What had changed in him? Remember the scenario we started with, the scenario of running beside your child, holding the seat of their bicycle and repeating over and over again, I've got you, I've got you, you can do this. While Peter hid himself in fear, Jesus came to him. He breathed on Peter and all of them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. From that time on, the Lord was running alongside Peter, never letting go of him. Like every kid learning to ride a bike, it was a little bumpy at times. But when it was, the Lord would pick Peter up and the others, dust them off. He would bind their wounds. He would encourage Peter, get back on that bike, so to speak. Get back in there. Always encouraging, I am right here. I've got you. And you can do this. The work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what set Peter free from his fear. Just the day before the events of our epistle reading, case in point, the Lord being with them, Peter and the other apostles found themselves in the midst of the very things that they feared most. The Sadducees, filled with jealousy, had put the apostles in public prison for teaching and performing miracles in the name of Jesus. Their greatest fears had come to pass. But though they're behind a locked door, not of their own choosing, it seems that, well, they didn't seem fearful. Through time and experience, God's faithfulness in their experiences, Peter and the others had come to trust that God was indeed always with them, even in prison. And so that night, during the night, the angel of the Lord came. came to the prison, opened the prison doors, well, the text says, and he brought them out. And he said to them, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life, all the words of life, the life of faith of Jesus. At that, it was not the apostles who feared, but rather it was the enemies of God who were afraid. In this instance, they were afraid that the people might stone them. Have you ever looked back on an incident and thought to yourself, how did I ever get through that? It might not have felt like it at the time, but you were guarded by God. He had you, and he will never let you go. We believers have God's Holy Spirit as his guarantee. His guarantee in Christ Jesus that heaven is our home, even as we at times find ourselves in the midst of various trials. Nothing can take your salvation from you. God has preserved for you eternal joy and eternal salvation. That's yours. And nobody can take that. No situation, no various trial can take that from you. Time in the protective healing hands of the Lord is what had removed Peter's fear. A lot of time. A lifetime of time. Time spent living his life. Time spent being grieved by life's various trials. The Lord walked with Peter. Time upon which Peter could look back and ponder how God had guarded him by his power. And so Peter proclaims the same in his letter. Eventually, with the Lord's help, the disciples would confront their fears. They would indeed go to Galilee, and there would be more conversations. There would be more opportunities to fear, but there would also be more opportunities for words of restoration, words of forgiveness for their failings, more time for assurance, until finally the day came when the disciples were ready to believe without seeing. In that day, Jesus would ascend back to heaven. Mission accomplished. In that day, Acts 1:9, in that day, as the disciples were looking on, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. End of quote. The time for the world to see Jesus had passed. It was time for the world to hear. And what should they hear? Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. It's as simple as that. By believing, you have life in his name. As you look back on the various fiery trials of life, may you recognize the Lord's hand in your life. As you look forward, may you be assured, one, that heaven is your home. Two, that you have peace with God. And three, that he will never, ever let you go. Because you can indeed do all things through him who gives you faith. He does give you faith, but he also gives you strength. There we go. If I'm going to quote it, I better quote it right. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.